Virotai verabotai, erev tov, good evening everybody. We are going to talk tonight on the Haggadah of Pesach a little. Okay, so, first of all, what is the purpose of this night?
To sit with Gadi tonight.
Not this night, okay, I'm talking about the Seder night.
Why is this night different from the other night?
To tell your children about Yitzhak. Yeah, Gadata Lebincha, Bayom,
Magid.
Yes, Magid. So, let's look first of all, who do we talk to? And this is a crucial point, because people come to the Seder night, didn't open the Haggadah for the whole year, and then suddenly they realize, oh, 1 minute, huh? Okay, we follow the orders. Here you pick up the glass, here you do this. That's not a Seder night. So Seder night, you have to prepare yourself. And one of the things that you prepare yourself is to know who is going to sit with me on the Seder night. And especially if I am the one who is doing the Seder night, so of course I have to know who is sitting with me in order to know how to approach and to tell the story in a right way. Because it's definitely different to tell the story if it's Yat Mitzrayim to a 4-year-old or to a 10-year or to 18 or to 70-year. So different. And also we have somebody is clever, somebody is not so clever, somebody is innocent. Keneged arba'a banim dibra Torah. The Torah tells us there are four kind of children. Or in other words, there are four kind of people that are going to sit with you. And if we're going to go even farther out, there are four kind of people inside you. Because we also sometimes behave like the clever one, sometimes we behave like the innocent one, sometimes we don't know what to ask, and sometimes we even...
Russia.
So in other words, really talking to ourselves and not to all the others. And one of the interesting things is, when we look at the Arba'a Banim, the Arba'a Banim Dibra Torah. So let's see, Arba Banim, what is the Chacham saying? Chacham, מה הוא אומר? מה העדות והחוקים והמשפטים אשר ציווה השם אלוקינו אתכם? What are all those laws that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordered you to do? And the answer is, אין מפתירים אחר הפסח אפיקומן. You don't eat after the Pesach אפיקומן.
Very clever question.
It looks like, we talked about it this week also in Shul. It looks like, I'm sorry to tell you, a very stupid question. What are the laws? Well, you are a clever guy. So didn't you learn in school? What are the laws? What are the mitzvahs? You should know that. And also the answer. Okay, he asked you what is the law. You said,
Ma'akesher.
Exactly. What's going on here? So first of all, the Haggadah says, Chacham. So we have to understand there must be some wisdom here in the question. So what is it? What is the Chacham really asking? The Chacham is asking a very clever question. He's telling his father, please tell me. I understand that I should sit here and learn the Halachot of Pesach. But you are an adult. You already did this for many years. And the all year around you're mentioning every day Yetziat Mitzrayim. So what is so special about Manishtana Laila Hazeh? What is so special about this night that you have to sit here? Me, I understand, but you, מה חוקים ונצות של צבא השם אלוקינו אתכם? Why do you need this? In other words, it is quite a clever question because he's really asking, you saying every day, morning, night, few times, יציאת מצרים, יציאת מצרים, יציאת מצרים. So why do you need a special night to sit here and tell me about יציאת מצרים? The point is, what is the answer? Okay, what is the answer? So we go back to the Parashat Shavua Tzav. Tzav says, Rashi, Zeruz Achshav Ledorot. You have to make the guy, like, order him to do this in a... I don't know how you say Zeruz.
A sharp way.
In a sharp way.
A strong hand.
A strong hand. Like, to keep it properly, let's put it this way. And do it... Like, some people understand that tefillah is keneged korbanot, And when we talk about Tzav, talking about Korbanot, and Zeruz is like, do it quickly. Zeruz, Lezarez is, make it quickly. So in this case, Bet Knesset Ariel is very good. They're doing it quite quickly. Especially the Korbanot. Finished. But that's not the idea. What is the idea? And why do we tell Aaron HaKohen to be careful about this mitzvah? Well, Aaron HaKohen has got problem. He's not going to do the mitzvah properly. The wooden korban, but we're talking here about a korban, a tamid. This is a korban that you bring every day, morning and night. It opens everything. All this, there's no sacrifices being brought to the altar before korban tamid, and there is no one after korban tamid in the evening. It's so important, but you do it every day, morning and night. And what happens? If we talk about prayers that are against the Korbanot, what happens when you pray every day, morning, noon, and night, morning, noon, and night? What's happening?
You get used to it.
You get used to it. And what we call it's mitzvat anashim melumada. There is no heart in it. There is no fire in it. It's like doing a duty, a routine. I have to do it. I'm doing it. Is this the proper way of doing it? So that's why the Torah tells us, Zeruz! You have to be careful with those mitzvah, even Aaron HaKohen, because you're doing it every day, day and night. So you have to understand, it is an important mitzvah. And the same thing is with Yetziat Mitzrayim. Yetziat Mitzrayim is a very important mitzvah. It's the basic of our emunah. Why? Why is Yetziat Mitzrayim the basic of our emunah? If we think about it, when the world was created, how many witnesses were there?
None.
When Yetziat Mitzrayim happened and the 10 plagues, how many witnesses were there?
3 million.
Not only 3 million, much more, because they say only 20% went out of Egypt. So you're talking about millions. And what with the Egyptian? And what with all the others? Because we all say in Shirat Hayam every day, Niv'az nivalu alofe Edom, Elei Moav yechaze Morad, Namogu kol yoshev Egan, oh, everybody all over the world were... was amazed of what was happening.
And without WhatsApp.
And yes, without WhatsApp. And the interesting thing here is that when we look at the plagues that are in the Haggadah, of course, we'll see three sections. Because I don't think by Simanim, the Tzach, Adash, V'Achav. And the first section is to tell us that there is a God. Leman teda ki ani Hashem. God is telling Pharaoh, I am God. That's the three first one. The middle one, Leman teda shani bekerev haaretz. There is a personal ashgacha on each one of us. God is looking at each one of us as an individual. Not like the philosophic used to say, okay, God created the world and then he went away. He doesn't care about us. No. Not only he cares about us, he is looking after each one of us. That is the second part. The third part is, there is nobody else. En od milvado. In other words, this is the basic of the belief in God. He is the only one, there's nobody else, and everything in this world, he is the one who is control, and he is the one who moves things. So now we understand. That's the idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's the basic of our belief. That's why we need a special night. Why? Because when we say and pray every day, it gets as a routine. And we don't even think about what we're saying. So we sit for a whole night and tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim in order to light the fire inside of us that will lead us into the new year with fire. Not doing it because I have to do it, not doing it as a routine, but doing it because it's important and it's a basic. So what is this with the answer En maftirim achar ha-pesach ha-fikoman? What is a fikoman?
The taste of the matzah.
No, the paschal lamb.
The ha-fikoman is dessert. It's an Aramic word for dessert.
In the paschal lamb, the sacrifice.
Greek.
No, the sacrifice is the matzah.
Yeah.
The matzah of the fikoman is against the Korban.
Yes.
Korban Pesach. But right. The name of Afikoman is dessert.
It's a Greek word.
Yes. Why do you call the Korban Pesach, which is the Matzah Afikoman, because en maftirim achar Pesach Afikoman, there is no dessert, and the dessert is the Korban Pesach, which is the Matzah. That's why we call the Matzah Afikoman, because the Afikoman is the dessert, and in that night there is no dessert. This Matzah is not a dessert, sorry to tell you.
I would choose a different.
You can serve before the Matzah. Yes. but after the Matzah of the Afikoman, you're not allowed to eat anything. Why?
Keep the taste.
So in other words, what is the answer to the clever guy?
You have to call all the years.
The whole idea of the Seder night is to light the fire. And with this fire you have to go to sleep. You don't eat after Korban HaPesach anything, because you need to have the flavor in your mouth of the Afikoman, of the Matzah, of the Korban Pesach. So now we understand, this is a beautiful question and a beautiful answer. Exactly. Not supposed to eat anything. Yes. You can drink.
Yeah.
But you're not. Yeah, water you can drink, definitely. Coffee also. And sometimes.
You also have a glass of wine after it. Mm-hmm. You have a glass of wine after
it.
One minute, let me see.
You have to do Katalaim again and eat
Afikoman again. Yes.
Koshlishi is
By the way, very important to know that there is a certain
after benching. Koshlishi is acharei ha-birchat ha-mazon.
No.
Koshlishi, v'hinei birchat ha-mazon.
Yeah, the afikoman is before benching.
Can't, but we're talking about the wine. I said there's two cups after the...
I'm only talking about the wine.
There are two cups after the benching.
And then you have the mirza.
Mm-hmm. You have the what?
Mirza.
What's the end? The end of the Seder.
Yeah, the end of the Seder. And then you eat the Afikoman.
That's why I don't bring the
term. No, eat Afikoman before.
Before the Mirzah?
Yes.
So then Will is right.
You have I said. That's what I said.
Grape juice.
That's why we're doing it now and not the Seder night. It springs back at you.
I know how
we do. What's happening is like you do Birkat HaMazon, you'd have the third glass of wine,
right,
and then you finish the Hallel.
Right, and then
you drink the kosrevi.
No,
the matzah you eat before Birkat HaMazon.
It's
the last part of the meal, and after this you don't eat anything.
So we
understood the question of the Chacham. Now we want to understand what is really the difference between the question of the Chacham to the question of the Rasha. The Rasha, מה הוא אומר? מה העבודה הזאת לכם? What is this job? What are you doing? What is this, all those mitzvahs and all those things you're doing? And the Agada is saying, לכם ולא לו, ולפי שרוצית עצמו מן הכלל, כפר בעיקר. He says, to you and not to him. And because he took himself out of the כלל, so, אף אתה עקה את שיניו. Give him in his teeth. And if we say that, what is the Chacham saying? Ma ha'edot, v'achukim etzita asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem.
Etchem.
Also he's saying etchem.
Right, that's what I want to say.
So what's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha?
Aval hu ma lachem velo, lachem.
No, the answer is before. What is he saying? No. What is he saying? Ma tziva
Hashem. The mentions God's name in it.
Not only is the name of God, he's saying something else. What is he saying? Hashem Elokeinu. So he doesn't take him, say, out of the cloud.
That's
the answer. Not only is mentioning the name of God, he's also saying Elokeinu, lo Elokechem. Our God. So he's not taking himself out.
Yes.
Now, but still, he's saying, oh, what is those mitzvahs? But this is the difference is, the Rasha, like it looks like, he's saying, what is this Torah? This Old Testimony, tell you what, years ago, this is the modern world. Who needs all those nonsense and all those mitzvahs?
That's something that you hear a lot of.
And I want to ask you, is this the right answer for the Russian?
That's the answer, to give him a box and a...
It looks like it.
The English is the bluntest teeth.
Yes, so is this the right thing to do? What do you think?
Well, I think modern philosophers would say, and psychiatrists and psychologists would say it's not the right
modern. So the Rav Ezrachi also says it's not the right way, but he doesn't say that the Agada is not right. He says we are reading it wrong. A lot of times when you read something and you pronounce it in a different way, it sounds different.
Yes. Hakeyachinav is not to hit it.
No, not at all.
It doesn't mean to lighten
it. It means darken. He is talking through his teeth.
Yeah.
So you are going to give him an answer that is going to knock his teeth out from like spiritual. So let's see what the answer is.
Wow answer.
So the answer, if I read it in the way we used to read it, is saying to whom? To him, for this God did to me when I went out of Egypt. To me and not to him. Did you see what happened here?
Mm. He's not talking to him.
He's not talking to him.
He's talking about him.
He's talking about his son.
Yeah, but he's not talking to him. He's sitting in front of him.
And he's talking to him.
Yes. Which is very strange. And now we read the Agada again and again and again. We don't see those things. Mm-hmm. Now, and what is he saying? Ilu ayasham. If he would have been there, he wouldn't be saved. Now, why is he talking to him this way? And is this really the right answer? So let's see. We understand here that we really don't talk to the Rasha. We don't want to talk with him. He's a Rasha. And we're telling him off. Now, if I talk like this with the Rasha, do you think that next year is going to come to Seder night?
No.
Of
course.
And secondly, what is he doing Seder night tonight?
He's there.
Questioning.
In other words,
he's not there.
He's participating.
He is a part of it, though he's saying, what is this job to you? He's still sitting with us. And he's also asking a question. Yes, it's not like a question. It's like throwing to us in the face. But it means that something here disturbs him. He wants to know. It's bothering him. It's like, I have been to this exhibition, I told you a few times. And there was a guy that was exhibiting carpets. And I started talking with him and understood that his father was has been in the Holocaust and survived. And he told me his father, we had a discussion, his father hates three things. The Polish, the Germans, and God. And I thought to myself, I didn't answer him. I was okay. But I thought to myself, if he hates God, what does it mean? You don't hate something you don't believe in. If you believe in God, you can hate him.
Sure.
You cannot hate something that doesn't exist.
That's right.
So in other words, we are already on the right way. He believes. And it's the same way with the Russia. If he sits on the Seder night with us, it means he's a part of us. Mm. Nevertheless, you know, the Rebbe Milubavitch used to say that the fifth cup is for whom? For Eliyahu HaNavi. Says the fifth copy for the one who doesn't come to Seder night.
He's in Dizengoff.
Yes.
Sitting in the
and if you can connect it together very nicely, because if those who don't come to the Seder night will come to the Seder night, Eliyahu HaNavi will come. The Megula will happen. So in other words, there is somebody who's worse than the Rasha, the one who doesn't come. So the Rasha is sitting with me. So we should understand that maybe We don't read it in the right way. Says the Rav Ezrahi. What we are really saying is, my dear son, you know how much we love you. And the way you go, if you would have been in Egypt, you wouldn't be saved. And this means that if the Mashiach will come today or tomorrow, and you're going in your way, we're going to lose you. And you know how much we love you. Now, if you talk to your son this way, he says, what is this job to you? He took himself out of the mishpucha, of the klal. You're putting him back again. He says, you are my son. And you know, you cannot change the status of a son.
You are pressuring me.
Not, and you cannot change this. It's like marriage, you can say, okay, if it doesn't work, we can divorce. But a son is always a son. A father is always a father. So if you talk to him this way, and he's sitting at the Seder night, so he's got something in him. This way, maybe next year, he's going to be the Chacham. And maybe this is the reason that the questions are very similar. To tell us that there is a small difference between being a Rasha and being a Tzaddik or being a Chacham. Because this question, if we're giving it the right way, if we're giving him the right tools, if we're doing it the nice way, maybe next year he's going to be the Chacham. In other words, says the Rav Ezrahi, we don't throw him away. We talk to his heart. And this is, I think, a very beautiful explanation about the Rasha.
Who says Rav Ezrahi?
Rav Ezrahi. I had a few things. The Rav Mordechai Yehuda Ezrahi. He's one of the...
He still lives.
He's one of the Gdolim today. He's a Rosh Yeshiva, so I don't remember what Yeshiva. One of the biggest Yeshivas.
He's not the husband of Tamima Mizrahi?
I don't know. Not Mizrahi.
Ezrahi.
What you're talking about, the Rabbanit Yemima Mizrahi, it's not different. This is Ezrahi. Anyway, the idea of Seder night is to pass on the message in the right way to everybody sitting there. And we have to know that there are different people and different... Now, the one who doesn't know how to ask, at ptachlo. So even if he doesn't know what to ask, we'll ask for him, we'll help him. And the innocent who sits there like, okay, also, we have to approach him and tell him the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And it's an important thing to understand. We are not dealing with talking about a Kabbalah and complicated things. A story, a simple story. Look at those guys. מעשה ברבי אליעזר ורבי יהושע ורבי אלעזר בן עזריה ורבי עקיבא ורבי טרפון שהיו מסובין בבני ברק והיו מספרים ביציאת מצרים כל אותו הלילה עד שבאו תלמידים אמרו להם רבותינו הגיע הזמן קריאת השחרית. What's happening here? רבי אליעזר, רבי יהושע, רבי אליעזר בן עזריה, רבי עקיבא ורבי טרפון, those are the greatest figures of that generation. And they're all sitting and doing what? Not learning Kabbalah, not bringing Chidushim, telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And nevertheless,
all night.
Ve'afilu before this, what is before this? Ve'afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim. We are clever, we are wise, we know everything. Kulanu zkenim, and we went through, as we talked about the question of the Chacham, we went through Seder night and to the story of the Yetziat Mitzrayim hundreds of times. Aleinu lesaper b'yetziat Mitzrayim. Not chidushim, not pilpulim, not complicated. telling the simple story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. וכל המרבה לספר ביציאת מצרים הרי זה משובח. So in order to make it as a fact and for us to understand how important it is to tell the story, right after this, עבדים היינו, and then מעשה ברבי אליעזר. You tell us the story of those sages that sit there and tell the story of Mitzrayim. And they're telling it again and again and more details till the morning comes. Here's another, by the way, another interesting question. What are all those rabbis doing? And you know where they are, where they are staying?
Bnei Brak.
And who lived in Bnei Brak?
Rabbi Akiva.
What are they doing in Bnei Brak with Rabbi Akiva? They're all from the north. Okay. Shouldn't they be in Yom Tov with their families? What are they doing with Rabbi Akiva?
But this was in.
And in the picture, they are not with no family. Not if the picture is right, but there is no family.
But they listen, in this, there was the period that the Roman was in Israel and they forbid to study Torah and all the things.
Yes.
Maybe they was doing hiding.
Hidden.
The Pesach, the Seder, they was hidden. So they cannot celebrate without the Mishpuch like we do today. Maybe. I don't know.
Those five rabbis, they used to be our messengers when we had problems with Rome. And they used to travel to Rome and talk with Caesar in order to make things good for Am Israel. And one of the explanations is that that was one of the times, and when they came back, it was too late. They couldn't come to up north. Mm. They had to get to the nearest place to the harbor. And the nearest place was Bnei Brak, where Rabbi Akiva lived. That's one answer. Yep. But there is a second answer that I love much more. And this answer is very, very interesting. Who is Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is a guy that sees always the bright side of life. Yeah. He always sees the light in the tunnel. When they're walking, the Gemara tells us when they're walking in Jerusalem and they see from the ruins of the temple, a fox is coming out. So the all four rabbis are crying. And Rabbi Akiva is laughing. And they ask him, are you crazy or something? Why are you laughing? The ruins of the temple. A fox is coming out. You should cry. He said, should cry? On the contrary, I should be happy and laugh. He says, why? You could be crazy or something? He says, in my own eyes, I see the prophecies coming through. The prophet says, Veshualim ilchubo. And here I see a fox coming out. So is the prophecy true? Yes. So what? Says, if this prophecy is true, so also the prophecy about the Avot, that they will come and skenim v'na'arim yishvu b'chutzot Yerushalayim, that the oldest and the youngest and the kids will sitting in the gates of Jerusalem and be happy and joy, and this is also going to come true. So shouldn't I be happy? And this is only one story. This guy always sees the bright side. Even if they come as flash with a comb of iron comb and they tear his body. And his Talmidim come to him. He says, all my life I waited for this moment. Because Rabbi Akiva is at a very high level. And he understands that this world is only a passageway. He sees what's behind it. And this is what we should see. And this is why at that bad time when the Romans are ruling and the temple is destroyed and Am Israel is in a very bad position, where can we be and be happy at the Seder night? When can we sit and do the Seder night and think that we are now going out of Egypt? There is only one place, with Rabbi Akiva. Because he, even in the most terrible time, sees the light. So with him, we can be happy. And I think that I love this explanation much more. This is a big lesson for us. That even if times are terrible, you should always see the bright side. And you should understand that God is looking after us. That's the idea of the Agoda. And God loves us. And that's why we sit the whole night to understand and realize that it doesn't matter what happens around us. God is with us. He is the one who created the world. He is the one and the only one. And He is the one that now controls everything, every day, every night, all the time, on each one of us. That's it, Yat Mitzrayim. That's the Agada. That's the idea. Now, we should bring it to the kids, to the adults, in an interesting way. So they would be coming out of the Seder night with a good feeling, with an experience that they will remember for life. So how do we do this? So we have to think if we have small kids, bigger kids, do games. I'm not going to go, we talked about every year, we talk about those games. And it makes the Seder night unbelievable. Of course, as we always say, short and interesting. Not dragging it. It's not going to work. Even if you have the most brilliant ideas and the most interesting games, if you're going to do it again and more and more and more and more, you lose it. I never forget when I was sitting in a family function, I think, and this rabbi was talking. And he talked so nicely. But he was going on and on. You know those rabbis that says, I'm the last thing. And after 10 minutes... is the last thing, and another 10 minutes, and again the last thing, and I lost my
short. Yeah. That's what I think.
And the same way, Seder night. So it'd be interesting and short. I'm not talking about short. Comes and no, that's not the idea. We says fire, but don't burn the house. We want the fire inside us. You can tell a personal story about Ashgacha. For example, this week we've been in an exhibition in China. 4 days, I'm walking with my son around 17 kilometers every day around the exhibition. And you don't finish it.
Wow.
It's huge.
Where is it, in Beijing?
No, in Guangzhou.
It's only
2 hours from... Not only
chairs,
furniture.
Ah, furniture.
Yes.
Chinese. Only furniture?
Furniture.
Yes. Yeah, but only furniture, 70 miles?
70 miles. 70, I'll tell you, I'll start. You're in the middle of the story. Mm-hmm. In a minute you understand it's not only this. It's much more than this. Anyway, when you come to an exhibition like this, you make sure you stay near the exhibition so you can come to the exhibition at the opening hour, because you cannot... do all the things. So you want to use the time, you spend money, you spend a lot of efforts in order to get there, you travel for miles and miles, so you want to use what you did. You want to...
if your money's worth.
Yes, get your money worth. Now, the problem is that you also have a duty to Kodesh Baruch.
Yeah.
Now, what is more important? Kodesh Baruch. So, Bet Chabad is a little far away from the exhibition. And it means that if I pray in the time that they pray in Chabad, I'm going to, not a half a day, but I'm going to lose 1.5 hours, 2 hours of the exhibition. Now some will do the calculation and says, you know, and by the way, they can be also right. Maybe a rabbi would tell them, you know, it's a said mammon, there is a waste, you're going to can lose money if you're not going, you came through here, so you can daven by yourself, don't have to go to Bet Chabad. But I believe that who is giving me the parnasa? Not the exhibition. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving. So what's more important? If I want to be successful in the exhibition, even from a very egoistic reason, what should I do first? Go and daven. Daven properly, with a minion. So I come 1.5 hour late. So what? If Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give me parnosa, I will find what the thing I want. So anyway, we're going there and walking there for 3 days. And in the whole thing, we need 2 special chairs that somebody wants to make a big order. We couldn't find them, like exactly what we wanted. The 4th day, which is the last day of the exhibition, and we come late, 1.5 hour. On the way in, my son Netanel is very friendly. And we see this Chinese woman with a girl, with a, maybe we thought it was a daughter, but then it was a sister, but never mind. She looked like a schloch. I say, hello, hi. He started talking with us. Says, where are you from? Says, Israel, Zitam. Oh, yeah, you know, I've got a factory and I'm exhibiting here. You've got a factory? You look at her, factory, what? She looks like somebody from the shuk. Yes, I got a factory in this and that and that. And he says, well, you're looking for furniture? Yeah, I've got. Maybe tomorrow you will come. I'll send a driver. You come to the factory. It's the next town, 1 hour approximately drive. So I said, no, we have to go back. They said, well, we'll give you an answer through the day. We go around the exhibition, we see nothing that we want, don't find it. And she's calling us every half an hour, making us sugar. And then I said to myself, you know what? What have you got to lose? We have to make sure that she takes us back to the airport. So I said, you know, phone her, says,
you have to go back.
Yes. So I says, you want us to come? No problem. You send the driver tomorrow 11 o'clock, but later on, you take us to the airport. She says, no problem. Next morning, 11 o'clock, she came a little late. She comes, she says, oh, a suitcase. No, I cannot take her. I'm not going to tell the whole story. Never mind, we put everything in. And we're going to the factory. 1.5 hours.
And you found the chairs.
We didn't find the chairs. She's making the chairs for us. A big factory, doing everything.
Wow.
And we saw the factory with our own eyes. And she's going to make Bezrat Hashem. So I'm telling you. You tell me. 4 days, I'm going in an exhibition. I don't find what I need. I found other things, but those two chairs I cannot find. And because I davened and came late, because if I would have come in time, I wouldn't have met this lady.
And because your son is
pregnant. And because the son... and all those things together, Sita Hashgacha. Who could imagine that because I come 1.5 hour late to the exhibition, that I will see this lady outside the exhibition, not inside. Before we went in. And then that's not the end of it. That's not the end of it. Suddenly when we're there, somebody else phones us that we saw in the exhibition. Come to visit my factory in Fushan. I says, you know what? We're in Fushan now. He says, no problem. Come and Calais and take you. He says, where are you? 15 minutes drive. So we went to another factory.
And
unbelievable things. Really, unbelievable. You know, you see the Hashgacha, you just have to open your eyes. And another important thing is, this whole town is furniture. It's a town of furniture. Miles of miles, streets of furniture, factories, shops, all kind of furniture.
So this woman was the owner?
Owner of this factory. And she looked like a schloch. One factory, there's a whole family business, and they have 3 or 4 factories.
And
this is a schloch.
What is the name of the city?
Fushan.
Fushan.
That's the town of furniture.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't see it with your own eyes, it's okay, a few streets of furniture. No, it's not a few streets of furniture.
You used to eat there at night? They serve Aruchat Terev.
Of course, in Chabad, of course.
Yes, every night.
In Gwanzu. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
in Gwanzu.
Yeah, yeah.
My son was there.
So now, I know if I come to the exhibition next time, I also make a tour in the town. I go to the factories nearby. And that's not important. The important thing is you put God before everything. When you put God before everything, God also looks for you.
No, but you said to put
Hashgacha
and the Seder. So you said,
yes, that's Hashgacha. That's the story of Hashgacha.
Yes.
What can you call it?
I'll not tell this story.
You want to tell you another story of Hashgacha. I mean, this will end today. Last year, everybody's got his personal story. Everybody. Think about it. You will find the story of Hashgacha. The problem is we don't open our eyes. You have to understand God is with you every minute. You have to open your eyes and see. You were saved from this. You came late to something and then you realized that it was only for the best. Everybody, think! And you can also bring stories of the family, of your parents, of your grandparents, of miracles that happened. And you can also bring stories of others. It's no problem. You can, if you, you, I'm allowing you to start, tell also this story. No problem. And I'll tell you another story. Last year, the same exhibition. We stayed a few days in Hong Kong. You have Kowloon and Hong Kong. Hong Kong is the island, and Kowloon is the like a part, really a part of China. But it's still, it's Hong Kong. And we went to, we were staying in Kowloon, and there was the shul. And went to the other side. To see, but it's a lot of interesting thing to see in Hong Kong. And anyway, we went to the other side. And it comes time, I'm crying on Michigan. My wife doesn't like what I'm doing. When it's come time for praying, that's what's for me more important than other things. And a lot of people, when they're on vacation, especially our business, they make, okay, I don't know, everybody should live his own life. But for me, there, I know my priorities are different. So it comes time. It's the rush hour. We stop in a taxi. He doesn't want to know about it. Kowloon. Double the money. Showing your money, 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 money. No. Nobody wants to take us. I don't know what to do. How do I get there? You know, it's the rush hour. It will take you, it's going under the tunnel, and it's around 1.5 hours to get to the other side. Suddenly, in front of me, there's a Hasid. He says, hello, manishma, ma'inyani. How do I get to Kowloon?
I'm going there.
He says, no problem. No problem. You go 150 meters. You see the sign over there? It's underground. You go down, take the red line. I tell you what's written there. You need to go to station on the red line, and then you get to Kowloon. He says, yes. He says, how long is it? 5 minutes. I couldn't believe it. So we go, by the way, you go down there. Millions. That the train station underneath the underground, it's like a town. And you know, if you don't know where to go, you know, so many lines. But he explained to me so good. So we went exactly like I said, red line, buy the motor ticket, went to the thing.
5 minutes you are there.
5 minutes, two stations, 5 minutes under the tunnel, we'll be the other side. And where is the station on the other side?
In front of
the Chabad.
And nobody
went to This is a shgacha. So everybody's got, you think about it, you will find the stories. We, like, the that's why we sit this night, because our problem is that we take things, oh, it happens. No, nothing just happens. That's the idea of this night. Nothing just happened. God is with us all the time. So you think to yourself, find a nice story. In order to make sure that people realize that God is with us. And if we, that's why we're sitting now. We have 2 days. We can prepare things. Sof ma'aseh b'machashava tchila. First of all thing, and by the way, you know, korbana ola. This is a very important sacrifice. What it is for? What is it for? You know what? Bad thoughts. Not deeds, thoughts. And this is the most important sacrifice because it goes, kalil, everything to God. The other sacrifices, part goes to the Kohanim, part goes to the one who brings the sacrifice, but this one goes all to God. And what is it about? Thoughts. Thoughts, not deeds. Deeds is at a lower level. In other words, thoughts are more important than deeds. Why? Because everything starts with the thought. So, if your thoughts are good, your deeds are good. If your thoughts are bad, your deeds are bad. So, Bezrat Hashem, we will think good and do good, and Bezrat Hashem will be successful in the Seder night, and it will be so successful that Eliyahu Navi will come with the fifth son, and we have the Geulah b'Meirah b'Yameinu.
Amen.
Amen.